Welcome to More Gold Investors Podcast. This is your co-host, Aja Yassir, and I am on the line with my co-host,
Lakeisha Nigera. Hey.
Hey, and on More Gold Investors, we talk about how to build wealth through real estate and other ways to build your portfolio. And Lakeisha and I were just talking privately before we decided to hop on and actually do a podcast, because the Lake County, Indiana tax sale is coming up. And we're seeing a bit of bullshit. And it kind of makes me think of the notorious Queen Bee.
Queen Bee, who is that? Beyonce?
Wait. No offense to the beehive or the bayhive, but hell.
Well, you
no.
said bee. You said bee. I didn't know. I was just trying to check in and make sure. Oh, so you, oh,
no.
Lil' Kim. You, pardon me.
Lil' Kim. Coming in
okay.
this game on some modeling shit. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about what the hell is going on with this Lake County, Indiana tax sale. So let's begin, Lakeisha.
Okay, so for those of you who are not aware, Lake County, Indiana, just like in just about every state, there are tax lien sales. And a tax lien sale is pretty much the sale of the lien of the property, not necessarily the sale of the property itself, although it can get to that. So Lake County has their tax lien sale coming up in March. To be more specific, it's going to be taking place March the 19th through March the 21st. Right now, they are taking registrations. Registration began on February the 4th, and it actually ends on February the 21st. So I'm just kind of giving you a little history so that before I kind of get to what we really are going to talk about. And with the registration of the tax lien sale, you go down to the county building, which is located in Crown Point, Indiana. You pay your $500. If you are a business, then there are certain documentations that you need to bring to prove that you are a business if you're going to register in your business name. And if you are an individual, you pretty much need to come with your identification along with a check or a money order, not a check, excuse me, a cashier's check. And this is whether or not you are business or individual. You come with your cashier check or a money order for the amount of $500 written out to Lake County Treasurer's Office. And this, therefore, enters you or registers you to be able to participate in the tax lien sale. And so, for the most part, in Lake County, most of the sale, most of the bids for this particular tax lien sale slash auction, they start at $500 for the most part, not all, but they start at about $500. So people are basically bidding for the tax lien. Keep in mind, it's the tax lien. They bid on the amount, and then, you know, it's given to the highest bidder. Now, when you register, they do give you a package, and the package pretty much includes all of the properties that are going to be auctioned off within that 3-day period. And it's tons and tons and tons and tons of property. Now, mind you, there are other tax sales that take place prior to this. And with this particular one, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there are somewhat over 13,000-plus properties, if I'm not mistaken. It could be more. 13,000 properties on that tax lien that's going to be auctioned for the tax lien. And so you have to kind of comb through. You have to look at the property, identify the property. You know, you're given the address. You know, pretty much get the history of the property. And that process is called due diligence, okay? And so now we're getting closer to what we really want to talk about. If you are talking about doing real estate, and I don't care what kind of real estate it is, whether it's investing, you know, whether you're just whatever market you're in, there's a key word called due diligence. And due diligence basically means that you're doing your investigation. You're going and you're pulling the information that is most important, that is going to let you know all that you need to know about that property. The more information you know, the more informed you are. The more informed you are, the better choices that you can make to determine if this is the type of property that's worthy of your investment. And that's pretty much what due diligence is. And so what Aja and I are realizing is that a lot of people are not doing their due diligence. Now, you always hear us talk about opportunity, and this is what Morgold Investors is about. We're about creating opportunities so that you can invest. But if you're not taking care of your business to do your due diligence, it's no different than getting married, right? And somebody say, hey, I want to marry you, and you say, okay, but you don't know their last name. You don't know where they grew up. You don't know nothing about their history. You just marry them because you're thirsty and hungry, and you're ready to, you know, get married.
And
you
would
not do that. Exactly, because who does that? You know, and it's just like with anything else. If you are getting ready to put your children in a school, then you go and do your due diligence. You determine, is this the school district that you want to put your children in? You do your due diligence. So what we're saying is that it's important for those of you who are in our listening audience, it's important that you do your due diligence. And we're realizing that a lot of people are not taking care of that business. They are leaving that up to or in the hands of other people. And who wants to put their investment or their life in the hands of somebody else? Because when you put it in the hands of somebody else, what happens, Aja?
Put it in the hands of the Lord. That shit is going to fly out the window. That's what's going to happen. It's going to fly out the window.
It's
going to
fly
out the window.
You have to get out there and you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to do this.
Not necessarily just for yourself. You could team up with other people, but at least understand the process of purchasing properties via the tax lien sale. And all of the information is on the website.
Yeah, a lot of the information is on the website, and they do give you additional information once you've paid the $500 registration fee. But what we do know, and what I'm sure many of our listening audience have even seen themselves, some of us, not all of us, but some of us, we don't like to read. We prefer for people to interpret the word for us, the same way with the word God, whatever that might be. People will go to a religious organization, and they are satisfied with somebody else telling them that this and that is what it says. They don't do any research or investigation for themselves. They take people at face value. And what we're saying here is that you cannot take anybody at face value. Huh?
Wait. You mean to tell me that people give their money over to somebody else so that somebody else can read and translate what the information means to them?
This is true.
Do
I mean,
you mean
people
to tell me people
it.
Do this?
Yes, Aja, yes. See, I'm telling you that people do this on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, especially between the hours of 11:30 and 2 o'clock on a Sunday in America.
You sound like some strange. That sounds like some plain shit to me.
Well, I mean, people do that. People do that. And this is the thing. This is the thing. Now, for those of you who, between that hour, you know, you are participating, you know, in something that you find to be enlightening, that can be a great thing. What we're talking about is the danger part of it when you don't know for yourself. If it's a parent and a child relationship, we expect that maybe our parents that we trust, especially when you're young, they may make decisions for us. They may be able to interpret things for us, especially because we may be little. We don't know any better. But the more that you grow, the more hopefully that you mature and learn. And then you begin to develop a skill set that allows you the opportunity to at least begin to understand part of the English language. And, you know, if it's whatever it is, you should be able to have enough information so that you can decipher for yourself. And so a lot of people, and a lot of it I think is laziness. Maybe we just got too much. Maybe we feel we got too much on our plate. Maybe we feel we're taking care of too much. No?
You know, wait. You know, Lakeisha,
what I just thought of
when you're talking. Now, I know I'm doing a lot of joking and having fun and all of this, but this is serious, y'all.
Okay.
While you're talking, it just made me think, and I lost my train.
You lost your train of thought. It's going to come right back to you.
It just lost. Oh, here it is. Okay, so it just made me think of the lottery. I found it. I picked that joker back up. You see, I ain't that old yet. I picked that joker back up. Okay, so it puts me in the mind of the lottery mentality. A lot of people have this get-rich-quick lottery mentality. All I got to do is put a dollar in, and I'm going to get all this money. And don't want to put the work in. All they want to get are the results. They don't want to put the work in. And that's the poverty mentality as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you have this lottery ideology that all I have to do is put some money in the lottery and I can get some money back, that's poor. That's poor.
That's poor. I agree. And we can probably have a 2-3 hour long discussion just on the poverty, you know, mindset, which you already know, for those of you who are in our listening audience. Well, we talk about this often because it's extremely important when you're trying to break barriers and open people up to the ideal, just the ideal of investing. So we know that even beyond that, there are more barriers that you have to break. So we bust and bricks every day when we come on the podcast. We feel like it's important that, you know, we talk about, you know, mindset, and we talk about the thought or that the poverty mind, because we have to do away with that. And that poverty mindset is exactly what we're talking about when we are saying that people turn that over, or they turn depend on the intellectual idea of other people and their way of interpretation. So, and in some cases, now when you're dealing with people who are just, and I mean this in no disrespectful way, but when you're dealing with people who may have, you know, are challenged, you know, with illiteracy or something like that, then that's understandable. And, you know, even as, you know, us who we are in the game of real estate investing, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't understand. But when we don't understand something, we go out there, we research, we get the information. And if that's not enough, we may very well go to someone who may have a little bit more knowledge, just like, you know, we're talking to our folks that we do with business with at the title company, or, you know, different attorneys who may be versed in this. But we're not taking the word that they give us just without thinking beyond that to say, hey, what does this mean? Well, where did you get that information? It's okay to ask questions. And so what we have seen, we're witnessing it now this year in 2019, also last year, the same thing. And let's just kind of get straight to it, okay? There are people out here.
Because you were at the tax sale. I wasn't there. Break it down so it can forever be broken down for us.
Okay. So what we witnessed is that there were people who were out here who, with their desire to make money, which is nothing wrong with having a desire to make money, especially if you have a skill set, you have some knowledge that other people don't have. That's business. That's what we do in this country and other and all around the world, okay? But when you put yourself out here as the expert and then you begin to start collecting people's money and people believe that you're the expert, I saw people going to the tax lien sale who had already advertised via social media, doing lives, that this is what they were going to do. So I saw this with my own eyes, being in certain platforms, Facebook Live, you know, and other platforms, webinars and whatnot, and they were pretty much offering, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you. You know, you give me your money. This is how much it costs. And I'm going to go here, and I'm going to represent you at this sale. I know this. I know that. And I saw these people at the sale. And they told the people offline that, hey, I'm going to get you this. I'm going to do that. But when they got there, with my eyes, I did not see that they delivered on what they said that they were going to do. Now, this doesn't mean that it didn't happen, because maybe it happened when I took a bathroom break. Okay? Maybe it might have happened when I closed my eyes and drifted off to sleep for a hot second. But in all honesty, I didn't see it take place. And the person who I was with as a partner, they didn't see it take place either. So we had come to the conclusion that this person was being fraudulent, or they were withholding information and not being 100% clear and transparent, because their job was to go to the tax lien, represent people from other states who could not make it, and those people entrusted these representatives to go on their behalf and pay money or to bid on their behalf. Now, this is the thing. If you don't have any knowledge of how this thing goes down, then you're just really there on a prayer and a hope and a wing. You know that you wired your money or whatever the agreement was. You fulfilled your end of the bargain. You're thinking that this person is representing you, I guess just like that of a broker or something like that. And that person, really they were there for their own interest, and that was it. In some cases, you know, or I remember just from the videos that I watched, as they were advertising their business, meaning the representative, they were making it clear, okay, you're not going to get your money back. So you mean to tell me I'm about to hand you over this money, but you got me, right? You're about to get me some property for, you know, you're going to bid for me. I think it was because we desire, like Aja kind of mentioned, we sometimes want something for nothing, or we don't really want to put in the work. And it could have been different reasons. Maybe people could not travel, and I totally get that. But when you've entrusted somebody who you really don't even know, you know them through Facebook, have you even investigated to do your due diligence on them? Have you even determined whether or not they are even skilled? Are they even have the skill set to know what it is to do and how to represent you properly and do what they say they're going to do? Did they have a track record? And to my knowledge, this person did not have a track record because they had only done it one time themselves. So the point that I'm making is that you cannot turn over your hard-earned money to people expecting them to deliver something for you or to take care of business for you, and you don't even really have a full background on who they are and what they really do. Because I saw, again, with my own eyes, or I didn't see, rather, with my own eyes, is this person really coming through and delivering? I didn't see them making any bids. Now, maybe they actually had somebody else that was there with them. I didn't see them with anybody else. Maybe they had somebody else that was sitting in another place, and they were bidding on their behalf. What I saw was just more so a modeling show taking place. They wanted to be seen. I saw them do selfies. I saw them post a few videos, making it seem like they were really working hard. And that's all I'm saying. And I'm just saying, hey, I'm not throwing shade or anything like that. My thing is I really want us to be informed. I want us to really, before we get excited and think we're about to do a big come up, do your due diligence. And then another thing, understand this. With the tax lien sale, remember I was very clear that this is a tax lien sale, okay? This is not a sale of a home. It's a big difference. Tax lien sale meaning that you're purchasing the lien. If you were to win the bid, you're purchasing the lien. Now, unlike other counties and other states, in Lake County, Indiana, they have a very shorter redemption period than other places, which is better or which is good for the investor, but not so good for the property owner. because it basically means that if they go to the auction and they put down $500 to register, and let's say the bid starts at, you know, $500, and it works its way up to, let's say, $2,500. Now they have just won the bid for the lien of the property, not the property itself. What happens is the property owner has approximately 120 days from the sale of the property to redeem their property at the cost of which it was sold for in the auction. So if it was $2,500, then you have to come up with $2,500. Now, you could have only been behind $700 in taxes. Well, now because that person came and put forth their money, you're going to have to pay them back, and you're going to have to pay back any associated fees, meaning that they have to get an attorney to do due diligence, if they have to get a title company, if they had to send out letters, whatever they had to do before this 120 days was up. You're going to have to pay them back any fees and interest. And I believe in Lake County, if I'm not mistaken, correct me, I think it's 10% in Lake County, I believe. And so, again, it doesn't become, for the person who's the investor, they don't actually get the property until after the 100 days. So then it's still a process after that. So let's say that person didn't come through. They couldn't come up with the money. So now they've lost their property, and now the investor no longer has a tax lien. They now have acquired the property. Some people actually only invest for the sake. They don't want the property. I know many investors who have bigger pockets. They'll go and they'll, you know, put their money down to actually bid on hundreds of properties with the hope of they don't want the property. They just want the 10% that they're going to make. It probably works out better in areas where the redemption period is longer, like Chicago, which I believe is 2 years, so and it's 18%. So imagine you got, let's say, 50 properties that you actually bidded on, and you won all the bids, and these people have 2 years to reclaim their redeem their property, and then finally they come at the last hour. You're getting that money, that 18%, over a two-year period on all those properties. That's money in the bank all day. So some people play that game. Oh, you did? Tell me about that. Was that Chicago or Cook County?
Yes. The infamous Cook County, honey. The land of Capone. I sure did, and I went in there like Capone. And I earned interest on that money. It was just, I mean, where else can you earn 18% interest? It just makes perfect sense.
It makes sense.
So,
it does.
It makes sense to do that. And you do find a lot of people doing that. They just want to hold on to the properties just to collect interest. The unfortunate thing that happens in Gary, though, is that some people do that. They hold on to the properties just to collect interest. But then when some of those properties aren't redeemed, they just sit there and they decay, and they don't care about the properties because they may be way in Colorado or California or wherever. So you see a lot of that, and that
Let's
adds
talk
to
about
more blight in the city. Yeah,
I agree. And you know, when we were out some months ago, when it was a little warmer outside, and we were driving around looking at properties, I recall us coming across quite a few properties that we did our due diligence on where it was just like that. You might find even the same owner who has acquired like 15, 20 properties that they've hogged up, and they're hogging up and holding up. Help, you know, they're holding the properties up, meaning that they're not doing anything with them. They may not even have any intentions on doing anything with them. Now, in some cases, they hold them up for what reason? For tax purposes. They want to be able to, at the end of the year, to get a big tax break. And if they can show that they were holding on to that property at the same time, then they can write those things off on their taxes. I mean, we've talked about this on the show also, how there are some people who hold, you know, official offices or have held office, and they participated in previous tax sale, and they were able to rack up in properties, and they never paid any taxes, ever.
Never pay any taxes. And you find a lot of people who speculate, too. So they'll get the properties, and they think that the value is going to go up. So they hold on to the properties as if the properties are like stock. So they think the value is going to go up. And in the meantime, they're not putting anything into the properties. They're not even mowing the lawn. And it adds to more decay, and it adds to more blight. So that's been a big issue with Lake County, Gary in particular. And that's why the sale is so big, too. That's why we have over 13,000 properties, because we are living in a city that is full of blight. And a lot of that has to do with taxes. I saw one property that is on the tax sale list that is behind $61,000 in taxes.
Okay, that's amazing. Let me go back. I'm just writing this on a piece of paper so I can get a visual. $61,000. How can you be behind $61,000? First of all, let me ask this question, Ajahn, you know, for our audience to really understand. If a person, now mind you, in this, you're saying this is this Gary? This is Gary Tech.
This is Gary. Yeah, this is Gary.
Because this is a thing, people. Gary's taxes are low in comparison to other states throughout the country. They're low. So if you're looking at from a year-to-year date, how is it that somebody owes $61,000 behind on taxes where the city or the state, excuse me, didn't take action? And you allowed it. So for it to be $61,000 behind on taxes, how many years must that be? Like 60?
and the company who owns this property is out of state. So you see a lot of that.
So is that one of the properties that we're going after?
We're not telling good that, are we?
Huh?
We're not telling people that, are we?
I mean,
I don't know.
They don't know. I'm just saying, because this is the thing.
I mean,
of course,
it's quite a few properties.
Behind.
Yeah, it's quite a few properties on the list that's a lot of money behind. Because I was looking at the properties and then going into the Treasurer's Department, you know, their website, and seeing how far behind these people are in taxes, and it was just amazing. So that was just one of them. Another thing that we're finding is that the county is finally, well, the state, as well as the county, as well as the city, they're finally cracking down on some of these nonprofits who have these properties that have just been holding on to them, haven't done anything with them. Some of the nonprofits have even been dissolved, and they still have not been put back into the tax roll. So these properties are just sitting there, and the city is not collecting taxes on them, so it's not benefiting from these properties. So you'll find that many of the properties that are on the list now were originally owned by nonprofits that they just had to go back on the tax roll. So this is a very interesting time in Indiana and Lake County, and specifically Gary, because Gary is a huge city compared to the other cities in Northwest Indiana. It's just, you know, this was the major hub. So we're seeing some big changes going down here.
And also, just let me just say for the record, for the Lake County tax lien sale, the properties are within that entire county. And within that entire county, it's more than just Gary. You know, you have Hammond, Indiana. You have, I believe, Hobart. You have Crown Point. You have Munster. You have just a lot of other places, Cherville, Maryville, Highland. So there are a lot of other places even with inside of Lake County that's not just Gary. And like Aja is saying, it's just that per capita, or just even when you look at the size of Gary and compare it to some of these other places, then Gary is extremely large. And it's interesting, too, because Aja and I have, you know, just with doing research and studying, we realize, and Aja can speak a little bit more to this, but there are places that's right next to Gary that once was Gary. and they separated themselves. Yeah, so they separated themselves and, you know, became a town within their, within that city. So that's interesting, too. But, of course, that dates back to when a lot of different other things were taking place, you know, with segregation, you know, with a lot of things where people did not want to be associated with a certain class or group of people. So they had the freedom, really, to do what they wanted.
And it
think
still exists today.
Yeah.
It still exists today. You can still see the remnants. And the remnants, it's still here. You can still see the division between Maryville and Gary. You definitely
mm-hmm.
see it. It's a very interesting thing. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. We thought it was a good idea just again to come and just talk about due diligence and the importance of being able to do your research and not just depending on other people to do that for you, especially when you're capable, because all it does, it just requires that you read it, requires that you investigate it, requires that you pick up the phone. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been on the phone with Lake County Treasurer's Office in really the last few months. And on a side note, it's really unfortunate and it's sad that we, and I'm talking about more just outside of the state of Indiana, but it's a sad thing when you have a group of people who hold positions, you know, the so-called good government jobs, like those who are in positions at the different courthouses and et cetera, because they take on a position of, I don't know, like a ownership, and they feel privileged, not all, but I know many of us have witnessed this, and this is probably anywhere within the United States. You'll have people who covet these positions, and they think that because they have these jobs, you know, and they're privileged in some kind of way, and therefore they don't do their job. And I must admit that every time I've called that office, specifically now I'm speaking Lake County, Indiana, I'm specifically speaking the treasurer's office, more specifically tax lien, because they have many offices amongst the treasurer's office. I want to be very clear. The people are very rude and very disrespectful. And really, I mean, I'm just going to call it for what it is. I see it as being, in many cases, they're racist. And this is why I say this. I believe that they have a problem, a major problem, that now that is getting out the bag that, hey, you can come to Lake County and get properties or at least participate in a tax lien sale for as low as $500. And when I went on last year, I walked in to a sea of black and brown people. So I believe that that caused some upset with maybe some of these office workers who, for whatever reason, either cannot afford to participate or whatever, are not participating, to see this many people now all of a sudden with an interest and participating in this tax lien sale, and they happen to be brown and black. So it's like, how dare you call me asking me questions? So every time I call, it seems like there is an issue to the point that I have to kind of set people straight. Even the last time I visited the office, they don't want to really tell you information. They act like they don't really know, or it's either just one person in the office that knows the answer to that information. They put you on hold. They transfer you 15, 16 times. It's ridiculous. But again, these are the times, the types of things that take place. It is a shame. You're absolutely right. It is a shame. So that's been my experience. It's not only been just my experience. I know other people who've experienced the same exact thing. And again, just so that I can be very clear, I'm speaking of Lake County Tax Lien Sale Department under the Treasurer's Office. Now, I must say that I went to Hammond and dealt with the same department over there. I had a totally different experience over there. The people were very kind. They were very helpful. They were very nice. Now, that could have been because the other office had given me the runaround, and they told me I can come there to satisfy some taxes on property that More Gold was attempting to acquire, and they gave me the wrong information, so they kind of sent me on a wild goose chase. And maybe that's why they were a little empathetic, you know, but I know that they were kind, and they were nothing like the other office that I've experienced on multiple occasions. And that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, because guess what? And this is no disrespect for those of you who are out there listening are employed by the government, because we do understand some of the things that's taken place with the government shutdown, people, you know, still having to work but not getting paid. So I definitely respect and I'm sensitive to that. But I believe that just what we witnessed from some of those employees, I would say, hey, listen, today you're got an attitude, tomorrow you're not getting paid. You add it up. So don't be upset. In other words, don't think that you are something or that you sit in a place of power, and because you may not like those underneath you, that you have the right to be disrespectful. Because although today you're getting a paycheck, tomorrow you may not, and that's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Lake County was already experiencing things before the shutdown. They've been raided by the FBI, and all types of good stuff has gone on in Lake County.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, Queen, they mad. They mad. That's all. They just mad. They upset. They was like, oh, boy, here comes another Chicago FBI person coming to take us down. So, it's a lot of stuff going on in Lake County. So they were I don't know. Everybody's on edge. And like you said, the government shut down. And then to add to that, we're talking about people, like you said, it's a group of brown and black people who are coming into Gary and Hammond and other places and investing. So the dynamics are changing.
Right.
I mean, this is a reflection of what's going on in the country, in the world, period.
Yeah.
The dynamics are changing.
Really. You're absolutely right. Reflection of what's going on, not only in this country, not only in this state, but in the world. And so, you know, good people, again, we just want to really reiterate that if you're going to make the decision to do any type of investing on any level, we really are encouraging you to make sure you take care of your business and you do your due diligence, just like you would with anything else that you're getting involved in. You wouldn't just go on to Facebook or onto Craigslist and purchase a car, I hope, without doing your investigation. At least looking under the hood to see if there's an engine there. You wouldn't go.
Let me ask you, some people do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, because you said do your due diligence. You said that a couple of times, but I'm pretty sure there's some people out here who may not even understand what that means. So what do you think the process should be for them to really, really gather information on these properties that they will be bidding on?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. I know I kind of explained just a little bit earlier on, but it's important that when you talk about due diligence that you look at, first of all, the property. You have the address, okay, which is usually the basic information that you have. You get the address. Now, some people choose to go to Google. And Google, in some cases, may not be a bad place to go, and it really depends on what it is that you're looking for. But in this stage of the game, and again, it really depends on what phase you're in. For the purpose of the tax lien sales, really what you want to know is if the property, I mean, first of all, is the property even where they say it is? Is the property where they say it is? Meaning that you see the address. You can very well go on Google, but is it there? Because what I experienced last year, many of the properties were not physically there. I pulled up the property on Google. I saw the location. I'm like, okay, this matches the address. It's the same place. It's a nice brick building, or it's a nice, you know, whatever, house, two flat, whatever. But then I went a step further to drive out. Drove out, got there. It was not there, meaning it did not exist, meaning that if, in fact, you did win the bid, you were winning the bid to a piece of property that was not there. So it's important that you make sure that you have a full understanding of what it is that you are looking at and looking into. Now, that's just one phase. Now, when I got to the piece of property, the ones that were there, got the address, was able to identify that this is the address, drove to the address, went there, got out the car. If there's any way that I could enter in, well, I'm not telling anybody to do this because this is not necessarily legal. But if it was an entrance into the bit place, then I would make my entrance. If it was not, then, you know, I looked around, looked at the foundation, I looked at the roof. I looked to see whether or not it was going to be worth my time, because I may have invested initially maybe $15, $25, however much money, but okay, is it going to need a new roof? Does it have foundational or structural issues? What else is going on that I could actually see with my own eyes? So these are just some of the basics when you're talking about the tax sale. But when you're talking about other forms of investment, there's so much more due diligence that you may have to do. You know, there are things out there, there are tools out there that people actually can use to help them, to help them in what we know in the real estate world as skip tracing. You know, basically it's some of the same things I've already mentioned, but going a step further, because now you're looking at the name of the person property. Now, one of the things that I found to be a good thing to judge, if you're looking at a piece of property, you go and you actually take a visual look at it, and you see that the person is really only behind maybe a few hundred dollars. You drive by, you see there's a car in the driveway, so it looks like it's activity. It's not a vacant property. Then that means that if the person doesn't have any liens on the property, you know, that's something else that you can do due diligence on. You can look to see if there are any liens on the property. If there are no liens or anything else obvious, then it's a possibility that that person just may very well be behind on their taxes, and they're going to come up with that money. So if they're going to come up with the money, then that means that it's possible that you may not necessarily win that bid. Or if you do, within 120 days, be prepared for them to say, hey, I want my property back. So this is why going in, you already have to have a strategy. Okay, maybe your strategy may be to only go after the properties where they're vacant, where nobody lives in those properties. Because if nobody's living in the property, it's less likely that the actual owner of the property is going to come back to redeem the property. But it is likely that other people might be there at the sale bidding against you, which is absolutely okay. And I'll just give you some more tips for going to the tax sale. Know exactly how much you're willing to spend per property. You may say, okay, I went by that property, I identified it needs a roof, I identified the maid, it's cool, with the foundation, structural is fine. You know what, it's probably going to need some window. So I'm willing to invest maybe about no more than $5,000. Know that already going in. But because what I've seen happen, a lot of people only go based on an address. Sight unseen, never seen the property, don't even know if it's actually still there. They don't know what it needs. They don't know anything about anything. And they'll go and bid on the property. Win the bid. Now 120 days, nobody's came to claim it. Now it's their property. Now they go out to do due diligence. And guess what? Now it's too late. Because now you realize, oh, my God, it's a shell. Ain't nothing here. The whole roof is blown away. You know, all the windows are shot out or whatever. Or you'll see that there are other things that's actually going on. But had you done your due diligence, got up off of your backside, went out driving around, looking around, investigating, finding out information, you would have known all that, and you wouldn't be wasting your time. So that's what I mean, or that's part of what I mean when I say due diligence. There's so much more to due diligence, but again, it just depends on what area of investment you're in, what phase you're in. And now some people don't like to do that. But if that's something that you don't mind doing, hey, but like I said, don't completely depend, unless you know that it's a reputable service. Some people provide services where that's all they do is do due diligence on behalf of other people. And if that's a company that you're going to go with, or if that's somebody that you're going to go with, ask questions. What are you looking for? How much information are you going to provide to me, you know, that kind of thing. How long have you been doing that? So that's pretty much my two cents.
Well, you know what, More Gold Investors audience, you just got free information for free. You just got free information for free. That didn't even make sense. You just got You got a lot of good information for free that other people are charging $500, $700, or whatever to give you. You understand what you need to do in order to research these properties, in order to really secure yourself in these properties. So, and like Lakisha just broke it down for you, and I really, really, really hope you take heed. Don't just follow somebody blindly because they told you, hey, if you give me $500, you're going to go to heaven. No, Creflo. Don't work like that.
Well, you know, no, just on a, just, I mean, to speak to what your point, do you know that there are people who sell tickets to heaven? I mean, I've seen I've seen people who sell tickets to heaven. I've seen people, no. Now, it's one thing to sell tickets to heaven, but it's another thing for somebody to buy the ticket. So there are people who buy tickets to heaven, okay? And, hey, if that's your thing, we're not dissing you. We're not talking about you. But this is the thing.
If you do that, we're talking about you.
Okay. Okay, well, look, if that describes any of our listeners, listen, all I'm saying is be mindful of the people that you're buying wolf tickets from, because you want to at least make sure that the wolf that you're buying the ticket from has already shown some sign, you know, of, I don't know, an entrance into the Golden Gate. Because how can he sell you something to go somewhere if he hasn't even been himself? I'm just saying. How? Is it possible? So beware of the wolf tickets, people. Beware, buyer, beware. Do your investigation, do your due diligence, ask questions. And don't even let the excitement, like how Aja mentioned with the lottery, don't let the excitement of thinking that you're going to get something for nothing pull you in and have you pouring out your life savings. I've seen it happen so much. Protect your brand. Protect your stuff. Protect your money, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if you just want to give away the money, then, hey, and let me just say this. If, in fact, you happen to be that person who really don't mind and you want to just give away money like that and you have it throughout the window, feel free to go to moregoldinvestors.com and go ahead and contribute. Please contribute to us.
No. See, now you made us the people coming into the game on some modeling.
No, I'm just saying, because this is, and the only reason I'm saying this is this. Listen, hear me out.
No.
Because what you do know, because see, the reason I say that, and I can say that, you know, hey, with no problem or no shame, the reason I tell you to go to More Gold Investors and give your 500 plus, if you know, this is if you just into selling or buying wolf tickets to Golden Gates, is because we're going to offer you a golden opportunity. We're not offering you Golden Gates. We're going to offer you a golden opportunity because we're about the business of building and developing. So anything that you invest in with us, you are going to witness and you're going to see it come to life. So we're not just selling you tickets to Pearly Gates and Golden Gates and whatever. We're selling you real life pie, and not in the sky though. Pie on earth right now, while you live.
That's right, honey. And we got that sweet potato pie. We got all types of good pie. Bean pie, sweet potato pie, cherry pie, apple pie.
So that's all we're saying here.
Oh boy. Thank you so much for listening to More Gold Investors. And really, we hope to see you out there at the tax sale. If not at the tax sale, we will see you in these Gary streets investing and rebuilding Gary to its glory. You can contact us at moregoldinvestors.com or hit us at Lakisha at moregoldinvestors.com or Aja at moregoldinvestors.com. Have a great one, and thank you for listening to the show.
Thank you. You there?